Deuteronomy chapter 7, the seventh chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. Last week's message was from Deuteronomy chapter 8. This week it is from Deuteronomy chapter 7. Now, I will be reading this morning, and you will have those scriptures before you, but I will be reading from a different translation from the Message Bible on this morning. And so that is before you. You will see the translation of those scriptures before you on the video. And thank you so much, Media Department, for your hard work and diligence in doing all of that. And here is the word of the Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9 in the Message Bible. Do this because you are a people set apart as holy to God, your God. God, your God. Choose you out of all the people on the earth for himself as a treasured personal, cherished personal treasure. Verse 7, God wasn't attracted to you. It didn't choose you because you were big and important. The fact is, there was almost nothing to you. Now, you know, I know that this does not affect anybody in here, but that will let a whole lot of wind out of a whole lot of other folks sail, knowing that they aren't all that. Verse 8, he did it out of sheer love, keeping the promise he made to your ancestors. God stepped in and mightily brought you back out of the world of slavery, freed you from the iron grip of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know this, God, your God, is God in the oh, bless his holy name. Know this, God, your God, is God in the indeed, hallelujah, preach myself happy already. A God you can depend on. He keeps his covenant of loyal love with those who love him and observe his commandments for 1,000 generations. Hallelujah. This morning, as we're here on this morning, and good to see all of you again and your smiling faces. God is so good, amen, as we have assembled from the north, the south, the east, and the west here. Amen. For our Sunday morning worship celebration. Amen. This is our communion Sunday on this morning as well. And as you know, the Lord's Supper is an act that reminds us of God's grace in Christ. And that because of his grace, all of us belong to God. Amen, people of God. So as we prepare our hearts and lives this morning for this time of worship, I want you to reflect on the thought from our text. And here's the thought. It's not written here in the text, but this is the thought. Food for thought. Amen. As we, before we receive the Lord's Supper this morning, food for thought. This text here in the book of Deuteronomy spoke to the Israelites about the reality that they belonged to God. Because of, and they did belong to God because of only one thing, because of his grace. We too, people of God, we belong to God because of one thing. Well, because of several things, because of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary and because of his grace. Now, what is grace? And let me just refresh your memory when it comes to what grace means. Grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their restoration and spiritual rebirth. And because of that grace of God, as an expression of our devotion to him, the people, the Israelites, were to love God and keep his commandments. Because of all of God's grace and the grace that he extends to us, grace, God's redemption at Christ's expense, we too should love him and keep his commandments and do those things which he tells all of us to do. But first of all, this morning, I want us to reflect on the truth that is expressed right here in verse 6. And that is, and we said here, do this because you are a people set apart as holy to God, your God, God, your God. So the reality is that all of us, we all belong to God. Do we not? Amen. We are, amen. God chose you out of all the people on earth for himself as a cherished personal treasure. Now that ought to make you feel real special. Boy, that makes me feel special. So this verse, people of God, not only told the Israelites who they were, but this verse also tells us who we are in Christ. And so it was Moses' assignment to remind the people that they were a holy people and that they belonged to the Lord. Amen. They were a holy people. And so I can remember as a younger, really, really young child, and whenever someone spoke about the word holiness, it always conjured up a negative connotation. But while we think of holiness as having to do with moral purity, which it does, the idea here that holiness is expressed as belonging to the Lord. We are holy, sanctified, and set apart, consecrated to God. And it's no doubt that the Israelites were a holy people because of their relationship to God. And because of their relationship to God, they were separated, or they were cut off from other peoples and other practices in the world. And because of who we are, we know the Bible tells us that we are to be holy and sanctified and consecrated unto the Lord. We are to forget those things that are behind and reach forth only to those things that are ahead. The Bible also tells us that we are to come out from among them whom the world and be separated unto God. So we are separated. We are set apart unto God. We belong to God. Amen, people of God. Amen. Israel was chosen to be his special people from all peoples on the face of the earth. Think about that. Of all the people at that time on the face of the earth, God chose the Israelites. And because he chose them, that meant that they were no longer to live only for themselves. They belonged to God and they were set apart by the Lord to fulfill his plan and purpose in the earth, just like us. We have been set apart to fulfill God's plan and purpose in this earth. So here's God's plan for his treasured possession. And it was written about in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And I'll read that to you from the Message Bible. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. And this is what it says. But you're special, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And again, to be set apart means, to be holy means to be set apart. We are a people that have been dedicated to the Lord. Amen. We belong to God because he has chosen us, amen, to be his own special possession, people of God. So because we belong to God, then we are no longer belonging to ourselves. If that sentence makes sense, well, because we belong to God, we no longer belong to just us only. That means we have relinquished control of our lives to our Lord. He is our Lord and he is our Savior. And we are servants of Christ, are we not? Amen. Look here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 in the Message Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this is what God said, the same thing that God said in Exodus chapter 19. Peter also wrote and said here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 in the Message Bible, but you are the chosen ones, the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him and to tell others of the night and day difference that God made for you. That's why I love testimony service and praise reports, because it gives us the opportunity to hear the things that God is doing in the lives of all of his people so that we can draw encouragement from that. Now also here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, in the Message Bible. Here in this particular verse, the Apostle Paul makes it clear who is in control of your life. And let me read it for you. Didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. Wow. You know how you get upset when you buy something for your children and they just squander it? You know, they get it, rip the paper off, see what it is, throw it down and go on to the next thing. And I say, you know, we paid good money for that. I can't believe that you're doing this, that. Can you understand and feel how God feels when we don't honor him and our bodies are not presented to him as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God? Let people see God in and through your body. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? Praise God. One of the things that I've observed in my walk with the Lord and in my going in and out on a daily basis is that God has many fans today, but too few followers. Talk to some of the folks that you work with that are professing Christians, but not possessing Christians. Yeah. Too many people are fans of God, but are they followers? Now, let me make this a little more personal for you this morning. Can I do that? Okay, we're just having this little private conversation between us. Do we think as if we belong to God? Do you think as if you belong to God? How is your thinking when it comes to the things of God? Do you really understand that you are his special treasure, that you've been chosen and set apart, consecrated, holy for him? Is your worldview, the way you see life, is it shaped by Scripture? Is it shaped by the Word of God? Do you, in fact, live by biblical principles? And if you said yes to all of those things, then yes, that is being holy unto the Lord. That is living a lifestyle of holiness unto God. Yeah. Do you act as if you belong to God? Does your lifestyle reflect his lordship in your life? Does the way you raise your children reflect his lordship? Do your actions demonstrate that you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the glorious kingdom of light? And if your answer is yes, yes, that is being holy and living a holy lifestyle. Now here's a question, people of God. Do we truly understand that every breath we take is a gift from God? Do you really understand that? Inhale his presence. Exhale his blessings. Do that. Do you realize that you have been bought with a price? Do you realize that you have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus? So number one, we have established that all of us belong to God. And we also understand that we all belong to God because of his grace, because of his unmerited favor to all of us. So let's think about the Israelites. The Israelites weren't chosen on the basis of numerical strength. God chose them, not because they were more numerous than anybody else on the earth at the time, because in actuality, they were the fewest of all the people on the earth at that time. God didn't choose them because they were impressive, because many of them were shepherds and they were just common folk. God didn't choose them, not because they were a mighty people, because they never had the most people or even the most advanced army in that day. God chose them not because they were particularly righteous or anything for that matter. But as I was thinking about that, it seems to me that God chose Israel for all the reasons that we would not have chosen Israel. So then, if I was God, thank the Lord I am not, I would choose an impressive culture, maybe a culture such as the Egyptians. If I were God, I would have chosen a great military culture, perhaps maybe even the Assyrians. If I were God, I would have chosen a technologically advanced people, maybe the Philistines. But God being God, chose a people out of weakness so that he could display his mighty power to them. You see, when we think about who we are and think that we're all of that before we came to the Lord, God didn't choose you because you were the best looking person in the bus. He chose you because he knew, amen, hallelujah, when you came to him, glory be to God, that you would be a display of his mighty power for everybody around you in this earth. That's what makes you special, people of God. Hallelujah. And he also chose them because he wanted the people to know that it was God who saved them and not themselves. I'm reminded of Paul's words again here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through verse 29, and let's read that. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through verses 29. And it says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Amen to that. Not many were influential. Amen to that. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Listen to this, verse 29, so that no one may boast before him. Hallelujah. Again, why would God choose Israel to be his people? Well, they weren't chosen on the basis of numerical strength. The Israelites were chosen because the Lord loved them. And he saw them as being the essence of his grace, of his unmerited favor. So now, did God owe Israel anything? Was he obligated to save them or deliver them? Well, I'm going to tell you unequivocally and absolutely not. God was not indebted to them or anybody else, when in fact, they were indebted to God. And to be honest with you, God doesn't owe us anything, but we certainly are indebted to him. And we owe him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Because if he had not been on our side, I don't know about you, but I know that I would not be here on today. But God was devoted to the Israelites because of love. And the love that God showed to them, listen to this, was unconditional. We too are recipients of God's unconditional love, people of God. It was not based on merit, not because there was anything righteous or even praiseworthy in them. It was unconditional love that God had for them. It's not because of anything that you could have ever done. God loved you unconditionally. And when you understand, people of God, that somebody up there loves you unconditionally and somebody down here loves you unconditionally, that raises you to a higher level. It is God's grace. Glory be to God. None of us deserved God's grace, and I believe that none of us could ever have earned his grace. So as we observed the Lord's Supper on today, people of God, we're reminded of this truth. And it's a truth that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 in the NIV. Here it is. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. God saw our need. He saw our hopeless condition, and he loved us anyhow by sending his son and our Savior Jesus. Yes. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 10. Let's look at it in the NIV because it brings out this great truth about God's grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. What is it? It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I love this. For we, you, all of us are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. People of God, it was love that caused God to move on behalf of Israel. People of God, it was love that caused God to move on our behalf, and he is yet moving in our behalf right now in the name of Jesus. It was love that redeemed Israel from slavery and from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And it was love, people of God, that came down in Jesus to rescue us from the judgment of sin. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That word grace to me means we take no credit for our salvation. I said it before and I'll say it again. Why? Because all the glory, the honor, and the praise goes to him. We belong to God because of his grace. Hallelujah. And because we belong to God because of his grace, then we now have an obligation to love him and obey his word. Let's go back to the original text here. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. And I love verse 7 because it shows us why we were chosen. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath. Here it is, his oath and his promise. He swore to your forefathers that he would bring you out with a mighty hand and redeem you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is who? Faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. So what should our response be? Because we belong to God because of his grace? Well, if our hearts have truly grasped that tremendous truth of belonging to God because of his grace, then there should be passionate response to God's undeserving grace to love him and to keep his commands all the time. All the time. Yes. We got to show who we are in this world to the world around us, people of God. How are we supposed to be known in this world? Is it by the way we look? Is it by the way we dress? Is it because of where we came from or where we live? This verse right here that we just read, verse 9, tells us that God's people will be known by two identifying characteristics. You know how you can look at people and say, oh, I know who your mother is. I know who your dad is. I know this person. You all are in the same family. Amen. But there are two identifying characteristics. Somebody even one time had nerve enough, that not nerve enough, but I thought it was really humorous. They looked at me and said, oh, I could tell, I know you are Weddington. And I said, well, yeah, by assimilation. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Two known characteristics. Israel would be known as those that love God and those that keep his commandments. Hallelujah. If you want people to know who you are in this earth, just continue to love God, people of God, and keep his commandments. Every true believer of Jesus today will be known as a people who love God and obey his word. Can you do those two things, people of God? Love him with your whole heart and obey his word, and whatever he tells you to do, do just that. So this morning, the Lord's Supper, it reminds us of the grace of God in Jesus and what he has done to purchase our redemption. This table that we have before us on this morning reminds us that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, not because he had to, but because he loved you. And our response then to God's grace is to love him with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. And we are supposed to worship him and to serve him wholeheartedly and keep his word. I remember and reminded of the Apostle Paul and his words in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. And he said that we are to thoroughly examine ourselves and our lives. So then, do we truly belong to God? Well, this verse of scripture, I believe, really confronts us with a question that I think needs to be answered. And I'm addressing this to me. So do I belong to God because of the experience of his grace in my life? I have to say yes. If it had not been for God's grace and his mercy and his goodness. I said it before, I said it a little earlier, and I'll say it, and I'll continue to say it for the rest of my life. And if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Yes. Do you really understand and know that Jesus died and rose again? Well, if you are truly a follower of Jesus, or are you just a fan? Do you really understand what Jesus has done for you? And are you seeking to live out that which the Lord did for you in your life? Is your life an act of dedication to the Lord? Are you a fan or just a follower? Are you loving God and obeying his word? Is Jesus your Lord? Preaching to the choir on this morning. Those are the questions before us. So as we prepare to worship the Lord through the supper on this morning, I want you to continue to evaluate your life. This is a time for you to settle all that is right and all that is not right in your life here at the table this morning. And I want you to know this morning that every word that I spoke today should be food for thought for each and every one of us, including myself.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you would like to support this ministry, consider giving online. Text keyword RWOLFC to 77977 or through our free app. Search R Wolf C in the App Store. For more information, visit www.rwolfc.com for articles, blog posts, message references, and our monthly calendar of events.